Webster Presbyterian Church on this Pentecostal Sunday, and when the Spirit came with power, we sure heard that this morning, Pat. Thank you so much. If you're a visitor, we're really thankful that you're here. After the service is over, grab a coffee, and if you'd like, come on back in to hear our young people, our children and our young people do their music and their art, and there's a lovely display out in the hallway as well. I'm going to ring the church bell now, and then we're going to move forward, okay? Thanks, Carol. After the rush of the wind, let's have a moment of quiet as we breathe in the Holy Spirit this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate with music today. So we're really excited to praise God as a congregation through the gifts of music of other members of the congregation. From Joel, and Jesus said these words too: I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old will dream dreams, and your young shall see visions. On this Pentecost Sunday, join me in the call to worship printed in the bulletin. I will read the unbold, and all of you will respond with the bold words. From Psalm 92. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High,
to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him.
Thank you. Please be seated. Sorry. There's a litany of prayer and praise. This is also printed in the bulletin. If you could find that now, you will be responding with, "We praise you." Let us pray. Actually, I'm going to wait a moment until people are settled. Let us pray. Creator God, because you make all that dwells forth our praise and forms in which to express it,
we praise you.
Because you make artists of us all, awakening courage to look again at what is taken for granted, grace to share these insights with others, and vision to reveal the future already in being,
we praise you.
Because you form your word among us, and in your great work embrace all human experience, even death itself, inspiring our resurrection song,
we praise you. Yours is the glory. Amen.
So, kids of all ages, come on up and spend a few minutes with me here. You guys can decide what all ages mean. Hello, good morning. Smile, kid, you got a good smile. Come on down. We still coming? Nope, we're pretty much here. All right. So, did you know what the title of Sunday is today in your bulletin? It's called All. What are we doing all of? All music, right. So I should probably be singing right now, right? So it's not all music, but music is so important to our life together. That was a flawless chimer offering. I thank you for that. And I was listening, you know, not that I was listening for mistakes, but every note was there, and it was pretty intricate for chimes, that's for sure. All right, here's a question for you. Who has a favorite song? Favorite song, anybody? Oh, so you know, the other day we're driving, the ladies in the family went to see Abby in a play, and we took the kids out for ice cream. So while we're driving in the car, all of a sudden we hear from the back, "BBS, BBS." That was Georgia. Where is Georgia? She's up there walking around. Okay. Georgia wanted to, so we put the BBS songs on, and everybody in the car, all the kids anyway, were singing every note just right. They had the arm movements in it, and they just love those songs from VBS. So My Lighthouse was one of those. Isn't it great? Another month. This is an advertisement, by the way. If you have kids or grandkids or even great-grandkids, we're going to have VBS again. We're going to learn a whole bunch of new songs. Mrs. Daigle, you would think she'd take off for music when she didn't have to do it, but there she is right there in that wonderful red dress on Pentecost. We're going to sing some great songs together. Anybody else have a favorite song? Yep. I didn't hear, but can you speak a little louder? Puff the Magic Dragon? A Magic Dragon? All right. I'm still not getting it, but it has a dragon in it, though, right? A pop band, of course. By the way, I'm still in the, my spin instructor at the gym said one time, we're going to do some oldies today. They're 90s music. And I said, that's not oldies, right? So this is pop music. By the way, we don't have an Alexa in our house, our new house, and we're not going to get one either. Because when we were living with the kids, every day you'd hear, Alexa, play Kid Bop. Or whatever. Music is so important, and everybody has favorites. I guarantee you, everybody sitting here today has their favorite. Sometimes Reverend Eileen and I will get a letter. I want you to sing more of my favorite hymns, and they'll list those. Some people like, we had an organist for a while who said, if it was written after 1850, we shouldn't be playing it in church. I know, you don't believe that. But then there, for some people, it's contemporary music, modern music, rock music. So we're going to talk about music a lot today. We're going to hear a lot of music today. Do you know how talented we are in this church? By the way, thanks for those chimes. They were just great. We have a lot of people that can sing and play. We'd love to have a kids' choir again. You know what the hard part of that is? We can't get a rehearsal time when everybody can be there. But if your parents would like to have a kids' choir again, we'd like to hear from you. And maybe next year after the summer, we can start one up. Pretty soon, we'll be starting. We're taking off today. This is the last day for choir, but I'm going to advertise that too. In the fall, we want some more singers. So if you're an adult in the congregation that can sing, by the way, you've heard me sing, so you know we're not looking for opera quality, right? But we just somebody that's enthusiastic and can take direction and watch the director. That's the most important thing. So I'm thankful for all the talent in this place. We could actually have a band or an orchestra here if we put everybody together with our instruments. We have so many. That's a good one. Yeah, okay. We got kids hiding everywhere today. Let's give thanks for the gift of music today. Gracious Holy God, we are so talented as people. We play instruments. We have voices. We can do all kinds of wonderful things to offer praise to you. So, Lord, today we do offer you praise. Help us to hear your voice in all of the songs that we sing and all of the offerings we make. And as these young people grow, help them to discover their talents and to practice and to get strong and share that with others. Thank you for the children here today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. We've been doing that for a while now. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right, you can either go to the nursery or back to your seats with your parents today. By the way, the beautiful flowers today are in memory of a man that we've known well through the years, Chaz Anderson, given by Abby. Pretty beautiful, Ab. Thanks. Yes, I am. So I wonder if you're aware of, we've been talking these past few weeks about the number of times things show up in the Bible. And Eileen really surprised us. We talked about justice and righteousness and mercy and peace and how many times they show up in the Bible. But really, the one thing that shows up so often, probably the most of all, is what does it mean to praise God and how do we do that? And the psalmist is very good at describing that experience, and Psalm 148 is about that. But there's countless verses in the Bible where groups or individuals are offering praise to God, and they use their voice, they use instruments, they dance, they do all kinds of, in all kinds of ways, they praise God. This is Psalm 148. You can certainly follow along with me if you'd like, but it's one of my favorites, and it talks about the magnitude of our praise for God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. God established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. fire and hail and snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel are close to him. Praise the Lord.
Things about handbells is it just so shows how difference coming together can make beautiful harmony, right? Everybody has their own notes to play. They got to keep on top of things, but together, it's amazing. Thank you so much for that. As we do every Sunday, there comes a time in the service where we acknowledge our sins before God. Some people say, I don't have to confess my sins. I'm a good person. And that's what we try to be, right? But we also acknowledge that we could be better. We could be kinder. We could be more patient. We could be more thinking more often about our relationship with God. And so together we confess that we need to do better. So let's join together now in the prayer of confession that is printed in the bulletin. And let us pray that prayer together now. Lord, you have called us to worship you. We gladly gather. As we praise you, though, our own inadequacies remind us of how we have broken our relationship with you. Because we have sinned against you, even our worship fails to be what it could be. We often treat it as a show. We simply go through the motions sometimes, failing to recognize that you want to engage us deeply. Renew us, we pray, according to your steadfast love. Remind us of your covenant faithfulness, and have mercy on us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Receive the beloved people of God. Receive the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. The Old Testament passage this morning comes from a book we don't read all that often. We're going to read from Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 23, verses 1 through 6. And if you want to follow along, it's on page 331 in the chair rack Bibles. Verses 1 through 6. When David, now that's King David, that's David who slew Goliath David. When David was old and full of days, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. David assembled all the leaders of Israel and the priests and the Levites. The Levites, 30 years old and upward, were counted, and the total was 38,000. 38,000 of these, David said, shall have charge of the work in the house of the Lord. 6,000 shall be officers and judges, 4,000 gatekeepers, and 4,000 shall offer praises to the Lord with the instruments that I have made for praise. And David organized them in divisions corresponding to the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. An anthem.
I was glad when they said, let us go into the
Our first New Testament reading comes from 1 Peter 2, and you can find that if you'd like to follow along on page 984. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into the spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and the stone that makes them stumble is a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hallelujah, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I need to apologize to you. We didn't highlight Pentecost enough this year. Some of you are wearing red. My wife did a wonderful thing for me this year. She took all my shirts in the closet, and they're organized according to Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, red, green, indigo, and violet. And all the red shirts are there. I have 15 red shirts, and what I wear today, wore my green shirt. Thanks to Eileen, she made me put on my stole. I have strong women all around me. It's awesome. If one side gets low, it gets straightened out. I like that. So let's just talk about Pentecost for a second. How did we come up with that? Now, if you're a geometry student, a pentagram has how many sides, kids? Five sides, right? So there's a giveaway, right? Pentecost in Greek actually means 50 days. All right. Now, here's a question for you. 50 days from what? Aha, I heard it. It was quiet, but I heard it. Was that you, Mary Ellen? 50 days from Easter. Now, it's interesting. That didn't actually get figured out till much later. It didn't happen on that first Pentecost. They didn't even call it Pentecost. Actually, Pentecost is a ritual that takes place in Judaism. It's 50 days after the first grain is harvested. Now, here's a hard one. They don't know when exactly. First grain doesn't get harvested on the same day at the same time every year, right? So to figure that out is difficult. What the church tried to do is what Chronicles does. At some point, they tried to make an accounting of what we do and why we do it and the order we do it. So Pentecost, then, from now on, you can think about it, it's 50 days, okay? Now, two things happened on the day of Pentecost. Any ideas about that? So the first one, and again, neither one of these was perceived till a little bit afterwards. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the people, the disciples, and others. And many people would say then that's the first time we can legitimately call the people of the way a church, even though it looked nothing like the church we're sitting in today, or all of the other countless thousand churches across the country and the world. But the Holy Spirit is here, it's loose in our midst, it's present, and the event on Pentecost that was so profound, Well, okay, there's a couple of things going on. First, a mighty wind. All right, there's two words, one in Hebrew and one in Greek. The one in Hebrew, and you got to do a guttural thing. It's called ruach. You got to get that. Sort of a lot of Dutch words are like that, too. You got to get the in there. Okay, ruach is breath, essentially, in Hebrew. So, interesting, long before people were aware of medicine, doctors certainly in the first century weren't anything close to what we are now, and probably another century from now they're going to say, I can't believe they actually cut people open like they do now, right? But ruach is the breath of God. So people believe this. As long as you breathe God in and out, what were you? You were alive. When you stop breathing God in and out, you're dead. That's pretty sensible. That's true for us too. When you stop respirating, you expire. Now, in Greek, the word is pneuma. The word, so we have those wonderful Rob Bell videos called pneuma, but he spells it a different way, N-O-O-M-A. But what is a pneumatic drill run by? Forced air, right? And it's very powerful. Forced air is very powerful. So that those two words were present on the day of Pentecost. A mighty wind and then tongues of fire. And where did they land? They landed on people's heads. And I got to imagine they were a little nervous about that. If fire lands on your head, you're a little nervous, right? But those two things were prevalent, and then something miraculous happened. So it's Jerusalem. It's full of people from all different cultures. We're going to read the passage in just a minute. And all of a sudden, if you're at the UN and you speak a different language, what do you wear? You wear a headset, and you can hear what the speaker is saying that's talking to the UN, whatever language it is. I was really interested this week. There was a article in the newspaper about two Asian scientists who have developed a handheld universal translator that if you talk your language into it and push in the appropriate numbers, it can speak 25 different languages. Now, can you imagine how helpful that'll be when I took my Monroe County French to France and nobody understood a word I said? So you can ask something in English and you hold it up and it'll say it in French or any one of 25 languages. Now, I got to believe if you're looking for one of those for your summer vacation, it's not going to be available, but even if it was, you probably couldn't afford it. So it's going to take a while for that to get there. But in this case, all of a sudden on that day, something happened miraculous. Peter preached a sermon, and all of these different, I don't know how many different languages were represented. What happened to them? They all heard in their native language. Now, foolish humans, a lot of people said, well, I think they're probably drunk. They don't really understand what they're hearing. They're just pretending to hear. Well, that wasn't true, right? All of these folks, all of a sudden now, understood what was being said. And that was the Lord's doing, and it was necessary because the message that needed to be heard that Peter was giving was so essential, God arranged for that to happen. So now we have this power in our midst, and I've talked about this many times before. We don't utilize the power very often, do we? We're almost suspicious of it, and I'm not sure how much power it is really, but what did Jesus say at one point? If you ask anything that you desire in my name, what's going to happen? If it's reasonable and if it's holy, it's going to happen. I think we could stand to utilize the power of the Holy Spirit more in our life. Now, I hear people sometimes who say, Eileen and I talk about this, you know, God was talking to me this morning, and you want to say, well, what did God sound like? What was his accent? What kind of a voice did he have? Has God ever talked to you? This is kind of a serious question, right? And if God did talk to you, how does he do that? Now, the Bible says he does it in dreams, and he gives you visions. Actually, the book of Revelation is one big vision about God talking to who? John, giving him a vision about what's going to happen in the future a little bit. So the Holy Spirit is in us and around us, and it gives us God's message. It tells us what God wants. It also gives us tools to do what God wants us to do and gives us the strength for that. So Eileen was saying, I don't know what the title of your sermon was last week. Can you remind me? I'm sorry, that's not fair. So it was, what is God, what good work is God doing in you? Thank you for that. I've been thinking about that all week, and I'm saying, you know, I got to work on that. Not enough, maybe, huh? Maybe we all feel that way. Isn't it true, though, we usually feel inadequate before we feel adequate? So the Holy Spirit can help us discern what God, good work God wants us to do. And then, by golly, the tools that we need to do the good work are all right here, sitting in this room. And I'm, after 26 years in your midst, I'm still amazed at the things you can do. And I said, I didn't know you could do that. We all have gifts, all of us. Nobody's left out of that, right? So we need to use those. So let's read. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2. This is the story of that first Pentecost. Then we'll just, and we're going to focus on music today, but I want to show you that music is a gift from God too, and it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. This is what happened on that first day. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound of like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. I'll stop a minute. What is that called, speaking in tongues? There's some Christians who believe that that's a pure sign that the Holy Spirit is with you, that you can speak in tongues. And what does the Bible say? If somebody speaks in tongues, God will also provide somebody to translate what's said so everybody understands. Okay? Now, we'll continue on verse 5. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard them speaking in their own native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear them, each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But still others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. God bless us in all the readings that we've had today of his word. So, if you grew up in my neighborhood in Greece on Biscayne Drive, you would have heard certain types of music regularly. Across the street from us, Mr. Granger. Mr. Granger had five kids, four girls and a boy. And whenever he was outside in nice weather, the voice you would hear singing was Nat King Cole. He had every song that Nat King Cole ever sung. And honestly, over the years, I became enamored with his voice. And I listen to Nat King Cole now. And Mr. Granger's been gone for 20 years, but I give him credit for that. So that's one thing you would have heard. Now, this is interesting, and I won't tell you his name because some of you might know him, but one of the neighbors in my new neighborhood, this was last year when Mom was still living there. This was the 4th of July we went over. And all of a sudden, I heard it very high decibel, God Bless America. Can you imagine who was singing that on the record or on the tape? Kate Smith. And over Kate Smith was my neighbor singing. He didn't help her at all. But guess what? We just finished, and all of a sudden there was a small break, and then it started in again, over and over and over. I love Kate Smith, but after about the 20th time. But let me tell you something about these two experiences. For my neighbor, there was only a certain kind of music that he found acceptable. And it wasn't rock and roll. Even though he could have listened to rock and roll with his kids, he didn't. He listened to big band music. He listened to instrumentalists and he listened to Frank Sinatra and Perry Como and Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra, and you got the idea. And then the guy across the street from us, he's a great guy, by the way. He's a patriot. He was blessing our country on the day of the celebration of the 4th of July, and he was singing God Bless America. You can't go wrong with that, right? Now, I happen to know this guy. He has a certain style of music that he listens to, just like my experience in spin class. We're going to do some oldies today in the 90s. I'm a guy who likes all kinds of music. I listen to wonderful choral pieces. Every once in a while, one of our choral people, Reverend Eileen, will come in and say, I love that piece. I did that piece. And I listen to Pandora and all of that. Now, I also listen to classical music, and I listen to the 40s and 50s, and I dabble in some of the newest stuff. A few years ago, my buddy Pete Bine, that I grew up with, called me out of the blue and said, I've got two tickets to the Outdoor Canandaigua Performing Arts Center, and I want you to come. And I said, well, who's playing? He says, the Doobie Brothers and Leonard Skinner. I said, I'm there. So Pete and I left, and we went out there together. The Doobie Brothers, the lead guitarist, had a walker when he came out. He was like this. And it turns out he just had a knee replacement, but I guarantee you, when he sat down on that little stool and started playing his guitar, he didn't miss a beat. By the way, you don't know this about them, but they're still writing new music, even to this day. They're all gray-haired. They don't look like they did way back when. And Leonard Skinner, I mean, come on, you can't not get the beat with that music, right? So we all have our favorites, right? And every generation complains about every other generation's music. My dad said when he was growing up, they did swing and big band music, and all the adults said, these kids are going to rock and roll because they're listening to that music and they're flipping upside down and all kinds of stuff, right? And then when my generation came along, what's that song from Bye Bye Birdie, What's the Matter with Kids Today? So every generation's music gets sort of a bad rap. But you know what? God speaks to us through music. I am convinced of that. And sometimes, why did I pick that first hymn? I didn't pick it because of the tune, although I love the tune. Did you listen to the words? God puts his song into your heart. God speaks to you through music. I hope it wasn't lost to you in Chronicles. How many instrumentalists did David pick for the temple? 4,000 instrumentalists. Have you ever directed any kind of an orchestra that big? You? How about you? No? I can't even imagine what that sounded like, right? It must have been awesome. The Bible is full of those kinds of examples of how do we praise God with every part of our being, with our bodies and with our voices and with our instruments, with our minds and our hearts. So I'm absolutely convinced that music is a universal language. You realize sometimes when we can't talk to each other or we're disagreeing about something, a song will come on and I can see it in your face. That's our song. We can sing it together. We can listen to it and understand it. And I think music sometimes, while it can certainly lather you up and get you really excited and maybe full of adrenaline, but it can also calm your spirit, right? Now, I'm not going to get in an argument today about what kind of music we should be doing in church. My answer to that is, if music is a gift from God, is there any limit to what we could do in church? Now, lyrics are important. We don't want to sing anything that's negative or wrong. But there's really no limit, is there? And there's no right kind of music. Do you think God's happier with one kind than another? Probably not, right? But you guys have helped us. I mean, we're reaching out. We would love to have a praise band. If as much as we'd like to have a bigger choir, we'd love to have a praise band. If you have an inclination towards that, let us know. You can start something. I think that's the we need to start things sometimes. And if you're the person that could get it going, we would be eternally grateful. Eileen and I aren't going to do that, so somebody else needs to. God has given us the gift of music, and in this church it's so evident in so many ways. But I'm sure it's evident in your life too. Now, I'm not a big country and western fan, but when I visit my brother-in-law in Georgia, guess what we're listening to in his pickup truck? Country and western. I always kiddingly say, I get tears in my ears as I lie on my back in my bed and I cry over you. That's a real song, by the way. A country and western song, right? But music is just sort of a universal language. We all have our favorites, but we all can relate to it in a certain way. So on All Music Sunday, I sort of forgot about the Pentecost part, but I really didn't, because we're talking about God's gifts for us, and music is near the top of the list as far as I'm concerned. Now, I know the summer's coming. Some people after the picnic today are going to say, turn the lights off, we'll see you in September. But you know what? We're going to be meeting every week. We're going to have a seat for you. If you're away, find a congregation. I bet you'll recognize some of the songs they sing, and probably the worship, too, because they do it in a certain way. Now, you got a pink sheet when you came in, I hope. These are some, I'm going to do some sermons this summer, six of them, on these topics. Now, John Macquarie is a theologian who talks about the factors that inform us about faith and about how we live. And he lists six of these, and we're going to take a week for each one. And I think all of them are formative, right? Your politics, your everything about you is related to elements of these six formative factors: experience, revelation, scripture, tradition, culture, and reason. We're going to take time looking at those, and you're going to find that the Bible is full of descriptions of that. And I'm interested in how those inform your faith journey, and we'll talk about them together informally this summer. So God bless you all. Amen.
Offering. Are you going to do this or do you want me to do this? It's our opportunity to give of our gifts. Thank you.
after I pray, listen for Pat. She'll play it once through, and then we'll sing it together three times. We won't stand up. You can just stay seated for it. Let us pray. On this day when we receive the gift again of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, we know that our life together is about gifts given and gifts received. And in the name of Jesus, we give gifts to one another and to the world. We pray that our gifts would be acceptable in your sight and useful in your kingdom. Bless the gifts that have been given today so that they might be multiplied in your hands and find their way to the exact place they need to be. All of our gifts belong to you. We dedicate our lives to your service. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need the mic, Sienna's going to bring it around to you if you just raise your hand. We got one right down here with, oh, why don't we start, then you don't have to go back and forth. Go. I didn't see you stand up quick enough, Jan, but there we go.
I would like prayers for Dave. He's in strong. He fell Friday morning. Blood everywhere. He cut his eye. We spent all day in Highland waiting for their ophthalmology guy who never got there till 20 of 7. He looked at it and said he needs to go to Strong for their specialist. So that surgery's to happen tomorrow. I don't know the time yet. But I'd like prayers that all goes well because he just had cataract surgery on that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Prayers for David. Like John might be the next one down the line here.
I just want to ask for prayers for healing of the pain in my left hand. It's been going on for a while, and I am getting it treated, but it's very slow in coming.
Prayers for John and relief for his pain in his hand. Leanne?
I have a joy, three actually. My one joy is that my parents are here visiting from Texas, and if you don't know, my dad's also a Pastor Larry, and he plays the trombone, so. And the reason they're here is my other joy is that Julia graduated from high school yesterday, so now I have a high school graduate under my roof, so lots of joy.
I also have a joy. My grandmother, Jean Watson Cameron, is 90 years old today.
She's not here
with us at church, but she's here with us in our spirit, and we will be celebrating her later in the month.
Really awesome. 90. It's a milestone. Rena?
I also have a joy. A couple weeks ago, my grandmother and my cousin's family went to Japan to visit some family out there. They got back last night, so jet-lagged and all, they still were here to sing with us. So, thankful
isn't that,
for that
awesome? It's So you flew home from Japan so you could sing with us. That's pretty great. Bob?
Joy and a concern. As you know, my father-in-law, Bob Powers, has been on the prayer chain for a few weeks. He had major abdominal surgery 2 weeks ago. And as of yesterday, he was moved to St. Anne's Rehabilitation. And my wife tells me that the last 2 days he has not had any abdominal pain, so that's a joy. And his body is starting to recover. So continued prayers for my father-in-law, Bob. Thanks.
Appreciate that, Bob. We're praying for you. Do we lose anybody here in this? We're good then. Thanks, Sienna. Let's pray. Gracious Holy God, the needs in any congregation are many. And we've named a few of those today, but there's always more going on than we hear about. And yet you are a God who is intimately connected to each one of us. The word is not even on our tongue, Lord, before you know all about it. So we trust those words. Help us to immerse ourselves in the beauty of this Sabbath day and to keep it holy in our own way. All of the folks that we've mentioned, we ask for prayers. And, Lord, we pray for one another, which is our calling as Christians. Thank you. With praise and thanksgiving, we gather today on this All Music Sunday, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our next hymn is up on the screen, and you can stand and we'll sing together. You know this one. but that we would keep our spirit alive by staying in touch with you this summer wherever we find ourselves. Bless us now in Jesus' name.
Bless the name of the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.